people are hurting because of the closure of the border, because of the poor harvest last year, because your movements are restricted.
Lockdown in North Korea. It's Tuesday, July 6th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us online. We're at Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, concern about Taliban advances. New Zealand combats earthquakes. Delta variant hits California. Emergency radios. Reaching space privately. It's all on today's VOA Asia. North Korea is apparently facing a COVID crisis. But first, at least one person was killed in a massive blast at a chemical factory on the outskirts of Thailand's capital, Bangkok, near the city's airport in the early morning Monday. According to authorities, 62 people had been injured, including 12 firefighters and rescue workers. The blast damaged residential buildings and other structures in surrounding areas. Rescue teams conducted an emergency evacuation, including at a hospital nearby, where the injured were getting first aid, over fears of additional explosions and poisonous fumes from burning chemicals. This rescue worker describes the difficulties he encountered. "We are trying to look for the injured. However, the flames are quite high, so it takes quite an effort to look for people. Rescuers also are spreading out because we receive calls for people who have injuries from the explosion from the extended area, one or two streets away from here. There are reports of falling debris, injuries from debris impacts on faces and heads." The fire broke out at about 3 a.m. local time. The main blaze, however, was extinguished by mid-morning as the firefighters used helicopters to dump water to get the fire under control. Now to North Korea, where the coronavirus lockdown has taken a major toll on its economy. Its leader, Kim Jong-un, has hinted at a humanitarian crisis. Some fear the situation could get much worse, as VOA's Bill Gallo reports from Seoul.
North Korea may be the only nation to claim it is COVID-19 free. But even it now admits a worsening pandemic-related crisis. Last week, Kim Jong-un vaguely warned of a mysterious grave incident suggesting a major coronavirus lapse. He also recently acknowledged food shortages, comparing the situation to a devastating 1990s famine. Robert Lawler is with the Daily NK, a Seoul-based news outlet with sources in North Korea.
"There's worries that there'll be another arduous march type of situation."
The arduous march refers to the period of mass starvation during the rule of Kim's father, the late Kim Jong-il, which may have killed millions. It's impossible to say how bad the situation is now. There are no signs of mass starvation. But Lawler says the prices of food and certain luxury items from China have skyrocketed amid North Korea's toughest-in-the-world lockdown.
"People are hurting because of the closure of the border, because of the poor harvest last year, because your movements are restricted. People, particularly in the border region with China, aren't able to conduct their business activities, official or non-official."
Despite the crisis, North Korea isn't showing urgency on coronavirus vaccines. VOA has learned Pyongyang hasn't even completed all the paperwork to get vaccines from COVAX, a UN-backed vaccine-sharing initiative aimed at assisting low- and middle-income countries. It's not clear North Korea has vaccines from anywhere else either, puzzling observers like Yang Mu-jin. Yang says he doesn't know why North Korea has refused vaccines, adding North Korea isn't known to have any particular aversion to them, like some do in the West. North Korea's basic predicament is that it wants to keep the border closed to protect from the virus, but must open it in order to get vaccines. It's a situation that may not threaten Kim's rule, but will get riskier the longer it lasts. Bill Gallo, VOA News, Seoul.
There's much more as this story continues to develop. We invite you to read more by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook at VOA Asia, and you can visit us at our website, voanews.com. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Criminal hearings resume for Myanmar's deposed civilian leader. After pressuring telecom firms, Myanmar's junta bans executives from leaving. Asia Industry Group warns privacy law changes may force tech firms to quit Hong Kong. Pakistan alleges India plotted recent bombing. No comment from New Delhi. U.S. says no plans to close embassy as fighting rages in Afghanistan. You'll find expanded coverage of these stories and much more on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also stop by the voanews.com website. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Let's continue with VOA Asia. As President Joe Biden continues to pursue the withdrawal of nearly all U.S. forces from Afghanistan after almost 20 years, the U.S. commander in the country and others say they are worried about Taliban advances. Michelle Quinn reports.
Is the Afghan government ready? That's a question many observers have since the United States and its Western allies left Bagram Airfield last week. The strategically important post, 70 kilometers north of Kabul, the capital, is now in the hands of the Afghan National Security Forces. And the Taliban, the militant insurgent group that held power in the country until 2001, is reportedly gaining ground across the country.
If you look at the security situation, it's not good. The Afghans recognize it's not good. The Taliban are on the move.
In February 2020, the U.S., under then-President Donald Trump, signed a peace deal with the Taliban. But peace talks between the insurgent group and the Afghan government have stalled. Some Republican leaders have criticized President Joe Biden's timeline for the withdrawal as the Taliban gain control in key regions. Biden says U.S. and Western forces are leaving responsibly.
That we can be value-added, but the Afghans are going to have to be able to do it themselves with the Air Force they have, which you're helping them maintain.
The U.S. says it will continue to provide economic and security assistance, and it may be able to influence the Taliban if the group takes over, according to Gail Zamak Lamon from the Council on Foreign Relations.
Has the Taliban changed? Most people living under Taliban rule say no, it hasn't. But there's no question that it understands the environment it's coming back into is very different than the one it left when it left power. And it, while it might have technicals and technical vehicles, it doesn't have technocrats. And it knows it needs engineers, doctors, and all of that to govern.
Despite reports that the U.S. is preparing emergency evacuation plans for its diplomatic staff, the Biden administration said Sunday that its embassy in Kabul will remain open. Officials say a contingent of U.S. troops will be left behind to protect the diplomatic mission. Michelle Quinn, VOA News.
Happening now in Asia, rescue workers slog through mud and debris looking for dozens feared missing after a giant landslide ripped through a Japanese seaside resort town, killing at least three people. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. It's nice to have you with us today on VOA Asia. Thanks for stopping by. Researchers in New Zealand have developed new technology that could make bridges more resilient to earthquakes. Their so-called low-damage solution has a series of rocking bridge columns that move with seismic shocks, leaving bridges with little to no damage compared to conventional building methods. We hear more from Sydney as Phil Mercer reports.
More than 900 bridges were damaged during the Kaikoura earthquake on New Zealand's South Island in 2016. Roads and railway lines were also destroyed, disrupting the transport network. Researchers at the University of Canterbury have said that although current designs prevent the collapse of bridges, significant repairs might be needed. They've developed flexible columns made of high-strength steel that move during an earthquake. They act like giant rubber bands to bring bridge supports back into position. Conventional steel bars are also used to dissipate seismic energy, reducing the impact of a powerful tremor. Alessandro Palermo is a professor in structural engineering and materials at the University of Canterbury. He says the technology makes bridges more resilient.
This special steel, which is usually placed in the middle of the column, is actually working as a rubber band. So during the earthquake, these high-strength steel is actually trying to bring the pier back to the original position. I was actually trying to combine these resilient solutions, seismic resilient solutions, with accelerated bridge construction. How can we actually build bridges faster and at the same time resilient? This system allows to do that.
In February 2011, the New Zealand city of Christchurch was hit by a magnitude 6.3 earthquake. 185 people were killed and several thousand injured. A decade later, rebuilding work continues. Each year, more than 15,000 earthquakes are detected in New Zealand. Only about 150 are large enough to be felt, but building homes, offices and bridges that can withstand major tremors is a priority. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
After you listen to VOA Asia, you can see VOA Asia. VOA Asia is on YouTube. See and share the fun with Food Bites, our weekly culinary dive into foods from the homeland. Recipes that came with chefs who immigrated to the United States. Students enrolling in U.S. schools can get their first lessons about life on campus. Subscribe for free. See us often at VOA Asia YouTube.
This news from VOA Asia. Philippine troops found the last five dead from the crash of a transport aircraft in the south, raising the death toll to 50 in the military's worst air disaster, according to local officials. You'll find this and all the big stories through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. We have more on VOA Asia. Right now, in California, Los Angeles County public health officials have advised mask wearing in indoor public spaces to deal with rising COVID-19 cases involving the Delta variant. Because of the variant's rapid spread in the state, the advisory applies even to those who have been vaccinated against the virus. Angelina Baxarian has the story, narrated by Anna Rice.
The health advisory came just 2 weeks after California authorities had lifted most coronavirus restrictions in the state. The recommendation to resume wearing masks in public spaces because of the spreading Delta variant appeared on the Los Angeles Health Department's Twitter feed on June 28th. The news both puzzled and upset many LA residents. Kaylee was among them.
I've been vaccinated. I honestly believe that if you've been vaccinated and everyone else has been vaccinated, I don't think we need the masks anymore. I'm going to walk right in there and enjoy the fact that I get to go to the grocery store and be able to breathe.
Yet many residents are following the advisory and are concerned about the new coronavirus variants.
Probably yes, if they would say so. I'm not vaccinated yet, but if they suggest us to do so, I'll...
In May, only about 4% of those infected with COVID-19 had the Delta variant. By June, this figure had climbed to 14.5%.
This variant of the virus is a lot more contagious than, say, the common flu. This new Delta variant has more common traits with human protein. That's why it's so contagious.
The good news is that the vaccines, at least for which we have data, and that includes the Pfizer vaccine and the AstraZeneca vaccine, still seem to be effective in preventing hospitalizations and serious disease from the Delta variant. But the bad news is it is more infectious. That means it spreads more easily.
Experts say the Delta variant is especially dangerous for those who have not been vaccinated or have received just one dose of a two-dose vaccine. Also vulnerable are fully vaccinated people who suffer from chronic diseases or have a weakened immune system. That's why the county recommended that people start wearing masks again.
The reason why I think they're suggesting that even vaccinated people wear masks indoors is because we know most of the transmission from SARS-CoV-2 occurs indoors. And really, the risk of catching SARS-CoV-2 when you're outside, particularly when you're physically distancing, is extremely low. But indoors, when you're around other people close together, particularly when you're there for longer periods of time, that's where transmission's more likely to occur, and wearing masks will help to prevent that.
People in California, unlike those in some other states, are getting their shots. Almost half of all state residents are fully vaccinated. The high vaccination numbers lead experts to believe there won't be another strict lockdown in California. Over 154 million people have been fully vaccinated in the U.S. For Angelina Bagdasarian in Los Angeles, Anna Rice, VOA News.
Making headlines in Asia, Taiwan is planning to give emergency approval to two coronavirus vaccines under development on the island, even though they have not completed the final stage of testing. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, amateur or ham radio operators sometimes take their two-way radios to remote locations and speak with people around the world using battery power and portable antennas. As Mike O'Sullivan reports, they are making friends and preparing for emergencies.
Russian ham Raisa Skrinakova has set up her radio transceiver beside the Gulf of Finland. And in a park in St. Petersburg, the Russian port city where she lives in a high-rise building.
And it is not possible to install antenna here. But I must tell you that I like nature and I like to be active.
So she operates her radio outdoors. Hams like her can communicate by voice or by sending digital data or Morse code. Thomas Witherspoon uses a battery-powered radio in parks and on mountaintops near his home in the U.S. state of North Carolina, with his station on a clipboard.
My Morse code paddle's attached to it, and I have a little logging sheet, and my entire station, my entire amateur radio station I'm using to communicate thousands of miles, is right there on my lap on a clipboard.
He says it's fun to make friends in distant places.
Roger, thank you very much. From California, British Columbia, all the way out to Hungary, Sweden, Slovenia.
For one Texas ham, part of the motivation is preparing for disasters.
It's great practice to set up your station. You know, if some kind of emergency happens, you have to evacuate and go, you know, hundreds or thousands of miles, whatever the case is, away from home. You know that you still have communications.
Even when power and communications have collapsed, portable radios work and hams enjoy the challenge. Using solar power and reaching out from ever more remote locations with simple technology, like a tiny radio built in a mint container, which has been used to contact stations hundreds of kilometers away. With a few more watts of power, when atmospheric conditions are right, these radios can reach much further.
I've been able to contact, you know, across Europe and into Russia, and I've been able to get into New Zealand and Australia.
For this Arizona ham, portable radio offers a reason to visit beautiful places.
I get exercise that way, and I you know, end up exploring places in Arizona and other states that I don't think I would have gone.
It takes some technical knowledge and an amateur radio license and some luck to put out a signal with these makeshift operations.
You have so simple equipment. So simple antenna, and you get very long distance station. It is especially, I like this moment very much.
Enjoying the thrill of the chase from exotic locations and staying prepared. Mike O'Sullivan, VOA News.
Man, we got beautiful weather, beautiful weather. So.
Private space operations continue to expand. Plus, Europe's space agency continues its quest for diversity. And a French astronaut makes good, sort of, on a promise to his crewmates. VOA's Arash Arabisadi brings us news from space.
And yes, we are wheels up.
After first reaching orbit in January, private spaceflight company Virgin Orbit launched a modified Boeing 747 nicknamed Cosmic Girl from the Mojave Desert in California. This was Virgin's debut flight of its commercial satellite service, and CEO Dan Hart told reporters the company expects at least one more flight this year before shooting for six in 2022. Not to be outdone, SpaceX launched a rideshare from Florida's Cape Canaveral.
And liftoff.
The Transporter 2 mission carried 85 commercial and government satellites, plus three of the company's Starlink satellites for its global broadband network. CEO Elon Musk explains.
You can think of Starlink as filling in the gaps between 5G and fiber and really getting to the parts of the world that are the hardest to reach, the most difficult to reach, 3%, possibly 5%.
Musk says by August, the company should have global connectivity everywhere except the North and South Poles. Meanwhile, astronomers complain that the Starlink network blocks telescope sight lines from Earth to anything beyond the satellites. In other news, following an open call for applications, the European Space Agency says it was blown away by more than 22,000 applicants. The group includes a record number of women and about 200 people with disabilities. ESA Director General Joseph Aspacher says the numbers exceed expectations.
I would almost call it a historic moment for us to have so many applicants who want to become astronauts and who are interested in ESA program. So from that point of view, I'm more than satisfied. I'm extremely thrilled by these numbers and what I see. And this is it's just amazing.
24% of applicants were women, up from 15% during the ESA's previous hiring drive in 2008. The agency will choose 4 to 6 astronauts from the crop. And finally, astronaut Thomas Pesquet, who is the first French commander of the ISS, showed how someone very good at some endeavors can be very bad at others. On Earth, Pesquet promised his colleagues French cuisine in space, but once there, he delivered a crepe made of a tortilla with strawberries stuck on chocolate spread. Shame on a Frenchman, he wrote on social media. Arash Arabisadi, VOA News.
From cosmic culinary crafts to a fully robotic kitchen with a robot chef that can cook thousands of dishes. This could be a game changer in homes and restaurants around the world, as we hear from VOA's Julie Tabo.
Who hasn't dreamt of having their own personal chef to whip up tasty meals at a moment's notice? Well, now there's a robot for that. Molly Robotic Kitchen with a robot cook can create thousands of dishes with the skill of a master chef, says its inventor, Mark Olenek.
That's the idea behind all this kitchen. When you have got freshly cooked meal, anytime you need, day and night, from the good number of potential choices.
The robot draws from a database of thousands of recipes and is programmed to mimic the movements of a real chef.
Because of how it's based on human hands, it's got the potential to do just about any job in the kitchen. And that would open up all kinds of possibilities for the chefs to do other things and be more creative, I think.
It's not because humans can't do the same job, says Olenek.
It's because the machine is very good for copying and reproducing things. And the machine not make a lot of mistakes. Machine can work 24/7. And the productivity of machine is much bigger.
And it's also multifunctional.
If you want to have frying station, it will do fry. If you want to have like a pasta station, we can do pasta. If you want to do risotto, we can do risotto. Doesn't matter what you can put inside, machine can operate it.
Olenek's motivation for his invention?
Food. I'm a food lover. I want to have this food just when I want it, not when I can get it.
Which is the whole idea behind the kitchen.
I'd just be happy to see people around the world eating the same food that I love. And I think that genuinely will bring people together around the world.
Julie Tabo, VOA News.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Find us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and you can also see us at Instagram and YouTube. Thanks for joining us today. And thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao, our VOA Asia team, Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, Amy Hybels, and Chris Cascao. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We hope you have a terrific day ahead. Be safe. Be well.